is really, really hurt. Sometimes if you hit somebody and give them a black eye, the black eye disappears. But when we say horrible things to each other and things that don't honor God, they stick in us. I remember when I was teaching up at Mid-Vermont Christian School, we went to a staff in-service, and something that one of the speakers said really remained with me, and it said, kids won't remember what you said, but they will remember how what you said made them feel. And it's true for adults, too. It's true for all of us. We remember those wounds and those things, and only the Lord can heal those. If you think that the tongue doesn't get us in trouble, all you have to do is turn on the news and look at all of the flap and hubbub about who said what this week. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's in politics or entertainment, whatever the case may be. Right now there's a lot of scandals going on in the news, in the world, in politics, in the church. The church is not immune from scandal, as we see. And I know that right now the focus is on the Catholic Church, but you know what? Anywhere there's people, there's sin. Okay? It's not a denominational thing. And it breaks my heart to see the church ending up being cast in such a light, because we already have so much to overcome to bring Christ to the world. And then to have more stuff come up against us, it's very easy for people to say, well, the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Why would I want to bother being a part of that mess? You know, I can get that in my own life. Right? Yeah. So it's the kind of thing that hurts the body of Christ, it hurts the church, and people won't want to be a part of things. Something else that really destroys the church is addressed by James in the epistle today. And that's how we use our tongues, the words that we say. This message is really to folks in the church that are trying to do life together and have relationship with one another. And this is the most talked about thing that James basically focuses on in his book. It's sort of a how-to of Christian living. And the message is to guard our tongues. I have been in the church pretty much all my life. Not always in church leadership, but in various capacities. And I can honestly say that some of the nicest things that have ever been said to me have been said by Christians. And I can also say that by far the most hurtful things that have ever been said to me have been said by Christians in church. Our tongue can hurt and destroy the church, or it can build it. That's how we use it. Simply by what comes out of our mouth can destroy what God is trying to accomplish in and through a ministry, or it can build it. So this morning I'm hoping that we can take a look at ourselves as a church and ourselves as individuals before Almighty God and ask, is our tongue productive or is it destructive? So when God created us, he gave us two eyes, two ears, right? One mouth, one tongue, two nostrils, lots of things for taking in the senses, and only one thing for putting it out. And so, often as we're learning parts of our faces and such with Evie, our 2.5-year-old, God only gave us one tongue. So it could be offered and conjectured that maybe we're supposed to observe twice as much as we speak. Have you ever been upset about something and decided, well, I'm going to fire off an email to that person? And so you type this email up, and while you're still angry, you hit send. And then the next morning you go back and you reread your email and you go, oh no, I can't take it back. It's out there. And the damage is done. Maybe that's the way you felt in the heat of the moment, but after the Holy Spirit had an opportunity to work on your heart, even if the other party was in the wrong, you were moved to a place of being able to extend grace and forgiveness, but then your words are already out there, and the wreckage and the damage is done. Just like the toothpaste, once it's out, awfully hard to get that back into. So James chapter 1, verse 26 says, If you claim to be religious but you don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. That is quite a statement if you think about it. Your religion is worthless if you don't control your tongue. That word for religious in the original Greek actually translates as fearing and worshiping God. Okay? So James is saying, if you claim to fear and worship God and you don't control your tongue, you're kidding yourself and your worship is worthless. Wow. Quite a statement. Later in chapter 3, which is our reading today, we find out why. Because the same tongue that blesses and worships God turns around and wipes out a brother or sister in Christ. And James goes on and admonishes us and says, these things should not be so. These things should not be so. The world out there doesn't know much about God. The stories that you as kids learn, Noah and the flood, David and Goliath, even if people didn't go to church, they at least knew of those stories in a cultural context. They don't know any of that. You make a joke about better build an ark because there's a lot of rain. People look at you like, what? What's an ark? You know, we are 2+ generations removed from folks in our community and in our culture knowing anything about the living God. So they may not know much about God, but they do know that Christians are supposed to respond to people's mistakes differently than they do. People find out that you're a Christian, you're starting to be judged with a different standard already. I know people who won't come to church because of the words that they heard or that were said to them by other Christians. Sometimes these are folks that had just started to come to worship, or folks that have been in church their whole lives and they got burned and now they're out. They don't want anything to do with it anymore. This is between them and God, what they do with what happens to them. But we still need to pay close attention. Those out in the world may be saying to themselves, if I'm going to be treated in the church the same way that I am treated outside of the church, I'll just stay out. And as James says, these things should not be so. So the Bible goes on and compares the tongue, says that it's a fire. It's an unruly evil filled with deadly poison. The tongue is capable of edifying or building up, and it's capable of tearing down and destroying. It's just a small part of our body, but it can do really big things. Anybody remember the Chicago fire in 1858? It was started by a cow knocking over a lantern. Okay? It was a simple sort of, you know, little thing that happened. And it was kind of an insignificant accident, but it consumed so much of that city. And the same is true with our tongue. What would be a harmless word, or maybe just a careless joke or a side comment, can end up devastating someone else and destroy a family or a marriage or friendships, even countries and nations and the church. A lot of people would not be where they are now if they had not engaged in a particular conversation. A lot of people would still be friends today if they could have just glued their lips shut for a few more minutes. I'm preaching at myself. I've been there, and I still continue to do things, so don't feel like I'm doing this, okay? A lot of homes and families would still be together if couples were more careful with their words, if their words were seasoned with the Holy Spirit rather than with their flash anger in the moment. Adults' lives would be shaped differently if they were not victims of childhood verbal abuse from their parents. There's nothing wrong with speaking your mind. You know, we don't need to be wishy-washy, milquetoast. We can actually speak our mind, but our mind needs to have been transformed by the Holy Spirit so that what we speak is true. So the Bible tells us that we in ourselves cannot control our tongues. It's not possible for us. This is why Paul says we have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. We have to die to ourselves daily. We have to give up and leave on the altar before the Lord those selfish parts of us that would like to reserve the right to respond in a self-gratifying way when someone hurts us. It's a choice we make every day. We need to allow the Lord to rule in our lives. When our tongue is under the control of God, we will speak God's words. But when it is under the control of the flesh or our sinful desires, you might be able to fake it for a little while, but eventually the tongue is going to reveal the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Proverbs 13:3, here's a good one. It says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." You gotta put that on some fortune cookies. So, does your tongue bring life and health, or does it bring death and destruction? Some ideas, some ways of thinking about that our tongues are destructive. Idle or careless words, right? You know, just a little passing comment on something, or, you know, we will give an account for every idle word that we speak. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 12:36. The word idle means lazy or free from work. So that means that every word that I speak that doesn't produce some good, that doesn't edify, I will be held accountable for. Passing comments that might be a little funny or just careless, you don't know how that's going to end up being heard by somebody else. Here's a popular one. How about gossiping? Anybody ever gossiped? I've done it. Guilty. Happens. Okay? Paul describes someone who gossips as a busybody. It can destroy friendships. How many times have you shared something with somebody else and said, "Don't tell anybody," but then all of a sudden it got back around to the person that you really didn't want it to get back around to, and then you went, "Oh no." Sinking, feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you wish you'd never said the thing in the beginning, right? I don't know if that ever happened. So, it'll destroy friendships. It'll destroy church. No church is immune. Just as sure as there are people in our church gossiping, we'll be here. It kind of goes with the territory of people. Something that I shared with my kids, and I have to remind myself of, how do we know if it's gossip? 5 questions to ask. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Do I have permission to share it? Is my motive pure? If we can't answer yes to all 5, we should think long and hard before we speak it or share it. That's a pretty tough set of criteria if we think about it. It means that a lot of stuff, you know, have you ever shared a prayer request, but you were actually trying to tell somebody about something? I don't know. It seems to be a common way for folks. Certainly lying, we talked about that with the kids a little bit. You know, even white lies, it's still a lie. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who deal truthfully are his delight." So when we tell a lie, it's an abomination. That's a word we don't use very often, abomination. It means a disgusting thing. So God literally is disgusted when we lie. Scripture tells us that Satan is the father of lies. So, and Jesus is the author of truth. So why would we want to engage in something that steers us in another direction? So with tongue, there's other things we can talk about with the tongue, but I think you get the idea. It's obvious that God cares about the tongue. Do you remember the account of Isaiah when he saw God in the train of God's robe filled the temple, and the angel came with a coal from the altar and touched his lips? It was clear that the lips were unclean and sinful. God cares about that. God cares about our tongue and our mouth and what we say. When God passed judgment on the people that were building the Tower of Babel, remember that story? Right? They were all going to build a tower up to heaven, and then God confused their languages. They were becoming prideful and trying to sort of do what humans always do and put themselves on the throne instead of God. Right? He disrupted their work by confusing their tongue and their language. And what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell? Okay? First thing it talks about, is speaking in other tongues, telling about God's deeds of power to the various people that were gathering there. God cares about what we say and how we say it. So how about the other side? Good tongues, productive tongues, right? A scripture that I often am requested to read at funerals is from Ecclesiastes, and it says that there's a time and season for everything under the sun, right? Time to keep silent. That's true, isn't it? You ever walk away from a situation and say, man, I'm glad I didn't say anything, open my mouth. I may have wanted to in the moment, but the Bible says that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. Even Jesus, when he was on trial for heresy, even though he was in the right, he kept silent. He was waiting for the right time to speak. How about Mark Twain? Okay, I love this quote. A closed mouth gathers no foot. So a tongue submitted to the Lord doesn't gossip. We already talked about that. A tongue submitted to the Lord loves to tell others about what God has done. Have you met Christ? Has he changed your life? If so, you can't not help. Cannot help but have that spill out of you and tell others about what God has done in your life. Speaks the truth in love. Tongue that is transformed by the Lord speaks the truth in love. This is a really important one for us. Christ always spoke the truth. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't avoid the truth. But he spoke it in love. And by doing so, the person that he spoke to came to the conclusion that what they were involved in wasn't right. And they came to that conclusion often on their own, because Christ spoke the truth in love to them. So we share our understanding by telling the truth, but we tell it in love. Not obnoxiously, not pridefully, not tearing someone else down. Communication is not about what you say. It's about what the other person hears. I don't know if you've run across that in your own marriage relationship. You know, you say something and you're certain you've said something, but your spouse hears something very different, and they get upset. What? Don't make eyes at me. So, if we say things in such a way that alienate and shut down the other person, the very goal of our communication, of speaking the truth in love, is cut short and not met. Paul talks about in Corinthians that if we speak in the tongues of men and angels and don't have love, we're just making a whole lot of useless noise, right? You can be right all day long, but if you're saying it in such a way that nobody can hear it, what's the point? So the tongue can heal, it can bring life, it can give hope, it can point the way to God, it can make or break relationships, it can crush and destroy your children, it can heal, or it can kill a church. It can attract people or repel people from Christ. The Bible actually compares the tongue to hell's fire. It's not something we talk about very often on Sunday morning, but it compares it to that. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to burn out the stuff in our lives that is not from God, the ways that we use our tongues that end up hurting others, that end up driving a wedge in the church, that end up driving people away from Christ. If we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, relationships will be restored. Is there anybody in your life with whom there's a broken relationship? Is there anybody in this church with whom there is a broken relationship? Go to them. Talk with them. See if you can come to an understanding. Apologize and be humble if necessary. Friendships. You ever had a friend you had a falling out with? You know, you used to be really good buddies or whatever, and then all of a sudden something happened and now you never talk to each other anymore. Some friendships are toxic. Stay away from those. Okay? But if it's some unfortunate thing that happened, or some hurtful, dumb thing that I said or did, my friendship with somebody is ruined, go talk with them. Seek restoration of that relationship. How about marriages? Two of the most important things in marriage that we can say to each other are, I'm sorry, and I love you. It goes a long way. It's a great way to start a conversation about what happened and get back on track and fix it. God wants to heal and restore His church. He wants to build up His church. And we as God's people need to be careful that we don't tear it down by what we say and how we say it. We speak the truth in love. We submit our tongues to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that what we say might be true, might be seasoned with salt, but is led by the Lord and not our own hearts, which have a tendency to wander to places where they shouldn't go. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for teaching us about the tongue. Lord, I thank you for this reminder to myself as well. Lord, we pray that when we start each day, we might remember to say in some way, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in the name of Christ. Amen.